there was nothing honorable about what we did. And that's what I always thought. Going to war and being a soldier, you're some kind of hero. And there was some stuff that I did that was not even close to being a hero. And there was stuff that I did
I'm really sorry for all the damage, and I am really sorry for my cowardice, for not opposing the war, for not speaking out sooner, for not disobeying more orders in Iraq. I'm sorry. And to the troops, I want to say that there is a way out. You know, we signed a contract, and you know, we swore to protect the Constitution and to fight for freedom and democracy, but that's not what we're doing in Iraq. And if it means jail, or if it means disgrace, shame, that's what's going to take. That there is no higher freedom that can be achieved than the freedom we achieve when we follow our conscience.
Is one of domination. It's when you are obliged by the nature of your job to dominate people. So killing is just sort of, you know, the icing on the cake, so to speak. There's the day-to-day reality of behaving abusively towards people, of threatening people with guns, of, in the case of Iraq, a lot of times rounding up people against whom you have no evidence of any crime.
Way the military operates, and the way the government and the military together have indoctrinated soldiers to think it's okay to do this to Arabs, to do this to Muslims, to do this to the enemy.
You want to be the coward? You want to be the guy who doesn't do it? You want everyone to look back at you? And it's shame. I mean, you'll do it. You're just gonna do it. Everyone. I mean, you know, peer pressure, group killing. I mean, you know, and you go ahead and you do it. I don't think that it's necessarily courage.
We were on the outskirts of Baghdad, and we had set up a checkpoint. Well, this particular day, the car didn't stop. We discharged our weapons into the vehicle, and they were rolling on the side of the road in pain and agony. Driver of the vehicle, the one the survivor, he went over to his brother, and I was watching him. And he picked his brother's head up. He was crying, he was weeping back and forth. And I'm assuming that his brother expired, because he gets up and he walks directly towards me, and he gets about an arm's length distance away from me, and he goes, "You did this." He goes, "Why did you kill my brother? We're not terrorists. We're not insurgents. We didn't do anything wrong." And it was that moment that hit me. I said, "Oh, what are we doing here? What's our purpose? What's our mission? We just shot three innocent Iraqis, you know, that didn't have any. They weren't doing anything wrong."
Got him. Good. Second one. Hit the other one. Move it right there. Roger. He's wounded. Hit him. Right, in the truck. Hit the truck. Hit him. Go forward of it and hit him.
We got into a lot of firefights. We didn't lose a single Marine. It was because in certain areas, everything was considered hostile. Taking fire from that general direction, there are 50 fucking people there. It's one guy shooting at us. You know, we can't find the one guy. Fucking kill everything. You know, lay fire down over there. Suppression fire, area target. You know, you don't think, "Oh, okay, there's a lady in a pink dress. Let's take her out. There's a kid, but, you know, let's take him out." No, We're taking fire from over there, blanket the fucking area. It works, it's effective, you know? You don't take fire from that area anymore. You know, threats eliminated. And you keep going.
Take them out. Not a good day.
10 seconds.
Roger.
Impact.
My captain, he came walking up to me and he said, "What's the matter, Staff Sergeant? You look a little under the weather." And I said, "Well, sir, today's been a bad day. We've killed a lot of innocent civilians." And he looked at me and he said, "No, today's been a good day." And he walked off.